Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I need his glory. Hallelujah. I need his glory. Hallelujah. Good evening, Pastor Felicia. You are on the air with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to automatically put you on when you spit on the line.
That's good. Amen. They're working on my internet, so I'll be back in the chat room real soon. They're at it right now.
Amen. 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 They needed to be there. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, while they're working on that line, we're going to work on this line, and we want people to get born again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We need his glory. Let me tell you something. So much. Less of me and more of you is what all of us need to be saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Less of me and more of you is what we all need to be saying so that God can get the glory. Hallelujah. Out of our lives. We need him to get the glory out of our lives. At least I say I want him to get the glory out of my life. I want God the Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I want him to get the glory out of my life. Hallelujah. And we can't, he can't get the glory out of our lives if we don't do something about it. There's some things that we have to do. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to study God's word. We have to make a conscious decision to live a life of holiness, to live a life of righteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the glory of God is not just going to fall on you just because you wanted to. There's something that we have to do. We have to be active participants in what we want God to do in our lives. He's not just going to do it because we want him to. Amen. And unfortunately, people think that's the way God operates. Oh, I'm just going to wish it, and it's going to be so. Nope, he don't work that way. Even God, when he created the world, he spoke. He said, let there be light. He said it. And when he said it, it came to pass. And what we don't understand a lot of times is when we speak, whether it's negative or positive, a lot of people speak so many negative things and wonder why their life is all messed up, wonder why this is going wrong and this is going wrong. It's because of the confession of your mouth is what we say with our tongue. When the Bible said death and life are in the power of the tongue, he wasn't lying. He meant that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So whatever you say, if you say something negative, you're going to eat the fruit of negativity. If you speak positive, you're going to eat the fruit of positivity. But, you know, we don't want to do that. We do things that, because we're conditioned to complain. We're conditioned to speak negative things, and not because a preacher stood up and said speak negative, but just because of life. Things in life have happened to so many of us that we are just, we naturally say, we speak defeat instead of victory. That's why we have to change our thinking. That's why I think it's so important that we discuss The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, because we have to change our thinking. We have to change our thinking. Even if you never read Joyce Meyer's book, we still have to change our thinking. Because the Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, sometimes I sound like a broken record. Why does she keep saying be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Because that's what the Word of God says. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, if we could just get to that point where we say, God, I really, really, really need you to transform my mind. I really need your word to transform my mind. Show me what to study. Show me what to meditate on so that my mind can be transformed, so that my mind can be renewed, so that I can, how do I renew my mind? You know what, we try to make God like he's so deep and he's so far, far away that he don't understand the simplest thing that we ask him for. God, I need my mind renewed. Help me. Help me to renew my mind. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. God, help me. Instead of us trying to be so deep, we can go to God and ask him the simple things. God, how do I renew my mind? Don't you know he'll ask you if we come to him like a child? He said, come to him, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for if such is the kingdom of heaven. So if we go to him, approach God as a child, as a loving child, an humble child, you don't think God will give us what we ask him for? You don't think it's in God's will to give us a transformed mind or a renewed mind to help us renew our mind and help us to transform our mind? We don't think that's in God's will. It got to be in his will if it says it in his word. It has to be.
Yes.
We have to train our minds. We have to train ourselves to begin to think the way God thinks. We have to begin to change our minds and transform our minds to begin to, you know, act the way God acts. You know, what would God's character be? Would God say that? Would God do that? Would God like that if he was standing right here in my face? Would God approve of what I'm doing? You know, and I want to say this to people in all walks of life. Because, again, you know, I refer back to my family, and I'm just saying not just my family, but people that I see a lot, and people will say things and say they belong to God and, you know, I serve Jesus Christ and this, that, and the third, but at the same time, you still acting like the world. How can you do that? If God was standing here right now in front of your face, would you be laying around with different men? Would you, you know what I'm saying? If you're married, would you be laying around with somebody that's not your spouse? If you're not married, would you be fornicating? Okay? If you, you know, in a homosexual relationship, would you do that with God standing here in front of you? If you're on drugs or, you know, were a prostitute or whatever, and you say you belong to Jesus Christ, would you do it if God was standing right there in front of your face physically? Physically.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it if God was standing right there? And this is how we have to, I think that a lot of us really should look at it that way, and that might cause us to change our ways. That might cause us to look at things differently if we would just say, if God was standing right here. Because when I was younger, and I'm telling you, when I was in school, I used to do some things that I knew my foster parents would not approve of. I would, you know, go to school and I would curse. I would smoke, you know, when I was away from the house. And quiet as was kept, people was telling on me. I didn't even know it. I was wondering how my foster mother knew so much. It was because people was telling on me. And by the time I got home, she knew what I had done, but I would lie and say, I didn't do that, or they're just saying that because they don't like me, blah, blah, whatever. Okay? So I knew the things that I was doing. I would never do that in front of them. Why? Because, number one, I was scared of them. I was pure scared of them because they would have beat the mess out of me if I would have done it, okay? But there was a certain level of respect as well because they were the adults. They were acting as the parents. So you have to have a level of respect, you understand, for the parents. And so I did have a certain level of respect for them and wouldn't do those kind of things in front of them. However, we have to be the same way with God. If you have a relationship with your parents and you have a loving, nice relationship with your parents and you wouldn't do anything to hurt your parents, you wouldn't do anything to bring shame to your parents, you wouldn't do anything to embarrass your parents, you know what I'm saying? Then that's the same way we should feel about God, the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, our creator. That's the same way we should feel about him because he gave us life. Before our mothers, if without God, we wouldn't have life. I don't care how many times our mother and fathers came together. Without God, we wouldn't have life. Without God, our parents wouldn't have life. So we ought to respect God and treat him, you know, with more respect than we treat our human counterparts. We need to just really begin to talk to God and say, God, help me. I don't even know how to respect you. God, I need you to help me because I don't even know how to act towards you. God, I need you to help me. And for those of us who've been in relationships that have been abusive as far as our fathers are concerned and we don't really know how to trust men, we have to go to God and say, God, I need you to help me to trust you because I really don't trust men. And I look at you as a male figure, God, because your word always talks about you as a he, as a he. And God, I need you to help me because I really don't trust you. I don't even know how to trust you because of these men that's on this earth. I don't know how to trust you. I've been abused. I've been mistreated by men. And now you're saying trust you? I don't even know how to do that. But see, we don't be real with God. We want to play around and fake the funk and act like everything is okay and everything is everything. But the truth of the matter is we have to go to God and tell him the truth. He know the truth anyway. But we got to be honest with ourselves and begin to speak these things and say, God, this is what I need help in. I had to do that. You know, my daddy, my birth daddy, he died in 1975. I was 11. I think it was 11 or 12 when he died, and I had the hardest time with that. And I was like, how you want to just leave me? Like, you left me? You know, I was in my 40s when I forgave my father for dying, as if he had something to do with it. He had an aneurysm, and the aneurysm busted in his head. That's why he died. But I was in my 40s when I decided that I had to forgive my dad. Okay, but I had to be true with God and say, God, I never had any man to show me love. So how are you going to love me? I can't even see you. And the men that was here on this earth, they saw me and didn't love me. How are you going to love me? You know,
mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things that I said to God. These are the kind of things that I had to say to him to for me to get free. God already understood. He already understood me. He already knows me. But I had to get free. And I had to get enough nerve to really go to God and be like, you know, I went through this and I went through that. How am I going to trust anybody? You understand? My foster father, even though he was nice, he ain't had no backbone. He let his wife do anything she wanted to do to him. She would do any and everything to him. It was ridiculous, the things that she did to him. So I didn't respect men. Like, she, all that stuff she did to him, and he didn't do nothing. You know, and then when I got married, it was the same thing. It was like, you know, I didn't respect men either. I saw things. Mm. My daddy left me. My foster father didn't have a backbone. I mean, I ain't going to say he didn't have, yeah, he didn't have a backbone. But he was trying to walk in humility and not be, he wasn't an arguer, he wasn't a fighter, he didn't abuse women, he didn't do none of that stuff. But he just didn't stand up. Anything she said, that's what he did. And he wouldn't stand up to her. So that's how I treated men. Like, whatever, I'm going to say what I want to say and I'm going to do what I want to do. And you want to go along with it or not get to stepping. That's what my attitude was. And I had to talk to God like that. Like, you know, if God didn't do something I wanted him to do, I don't have time for you. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we treat him. If we would tell the truth, that's how a lot of people treat God. We treat him like he's just some man on the street. Or he just happened to be one of the people that we was with, and now we're going to cast him to the side. And he doesn't deserve that. I mean, God doesn't deserve that. And I'm telling you, I did not know I was going to be saying all of this, Pastor Felicia. I had no idea this was going to come out like that. But guess what? I guess it needed to because somebody needs to hear this, that we need to go to God and be for real with him. I just believe that. Like, we play too much. It's too much stuff going on, and we play too much, and we really, really need to just let go and let God. That's how I feel about it. So before we go any further, let's just pray, because I never got to pray, because we just... So we're going to just go ahead and... and pray. Let me just turn this on real quick. Let's listen to this for a few seconds, and then we're going to pray. I'm trying to put it in the background, this lovely music by Dennis Latham. I love this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love this. Yes. Brother Dennis C. Latham, and he's usually on Blog Talk Radio with Evangelist Mac, and he's a musician. And I just think this piece is just so anointed. I love this piece. And I asked him to give me a piece especially for this broadcast, and this is what he blessed me with. I just feel like it's just takes me somewhere else. I love it. I love it. Husband, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
As this music is playing, can you just pray and just pray as this music is playing? Okay, we can't hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, great Father in heaven, we thank you for this another stage in the coming of the divine presence. We thank you, Lord, for you've been mighty good to each and every one of us. You woke us up this morning and set us on our way. You took us through the afternoon, and now, as we anticipate the hours that lead into the evening time, the same God that brought us safe thus far will take us the rest of the way. Lord, I ask you to bless this program in a special way, and that you will bless Evangelist Teresa Scott and our guests for this evening. You will bless everyone that's listening to this program, whether it be live or in the chat room or even in the archives later on. That whatever need they may have in their lives, whatever questions they may have on their mind, may be settled. Divine Spirit. Bring peace to us right now, Lord. Bring understanding to us right now. Bring a willingness to be more like you every day of our lives. May we live a righteous, holy life before you. You'll be pleased with everything that we attempt to do, not for our own aggrandizement or for our own self-pride or self-esteem, but rather so that you may be lifted up and be glorified. And Lord, as we lift you up, may we never forget our responsibility one to another. For your son, Yahshua, Jesus the Christ, said, this is the commandment, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second commandment is like unto it, that you love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said, before he was crucified on Calvary, gathered disciples together as they went to the Garden of Eden and said these words, this is how they're going to know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So Lord, as we have this opportunity to come to this service and to this program this evening, Lord, we ask that we may learn and share love one with another, that whatever, wherever we meet along the way, that they may be blessed by us through you, that they may be encouraged to strive to be more like you every single day. Oh Lord, I ask you to forgive us our trespasses, that you will forgive us for anything that we've done, this thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty. Oh Lord, we are willing to repent right now, Lord. Change our minds, turn away from anything, Lord, that is fleshly, anything that is carnal, anything that is sinful, anything that is perverted, which should have been in us, Lord. We repent of it all right now in the name of Yahshua, so that we may be in right relationship with you, Father. That we may be in a communion with you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can do in our lives what you purpose our lives to do, and be in our lives what you purpose our lives to be. Now, Lord, I ask you to consecrate these 2 hours, that you will just anoint the host and you'll anoint the guest and you'll anoint each and every one of us as we stand ready to hear and heed all that you would have us to know. This we ask in the precious name of your son, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Geraldine?
Yes. Yes.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you all heard that scripture in its entirety, because it looks like my phone was on mute for part of it. Did you hear the scripture in its entirety?
Amen.
Pastor Felicia? Okay. Amen. I think that scripture, at the end of the scripture, is what the Lord was speaking to me and was saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is what he was telling us to do. This is what Jesus was telling us to do. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And sometimes we get lost in the translation. We get lost and go about hurrying and scurrying and doing everything else. But he said, go therefore and teach all nations. Go out there and tell the people about Jesus. Go out there and tell them about him. Go out there. It says in verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. See, we want to wait till Easter to tell people that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. We want to wait until Easter to tell people that Jesus is no longer in the grave. But guess what? That's something that we should be saying every day. He is risen. He is no longer in the grave. He is risen. And he died for us. He died for us, but he rose again. He is risen. We don't have to wait for Easter to tell people that Jesus is risen. We need to be telling them that every day, teaching them about Jesus, the risen Savior. The risen Savior. He's not in that grave. He's not on that cross anymore. That's why I will not wear a crucifix, because he's not on the cross anymore. He's not on the cross. I'll wear a cross, but I won't wear a crucifix, because Jesus is not on that cross. He is risen.
Amen.
He is not there. He is risen, and the Bible tells us, it says that it was an earthquake. He said there was a great earthquake. Why? Because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. These are the kind of things that we need to be teaching people. We need to read the word to the people so they can hear this. The angel, it was an earthquake, and the angel came back and rolled the stone away. He rolled the stone away. He wasn't there. Jesus wasn't in the grave. He wasn't in the grave. He was gone. He's not in the grave right now. He's not on that cross right now. Can you imagine if he was still hanging on that cross, how his body would be right now? It would be nothing but bones. It wouldn't even be hanging there anymore, because all the sinews and everything would have already dried up, and the birds would have come and eaten his body up and devoured him. But he is not there in the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And these are the things that we have to teach people and shout it from the mountaintop, that look, Jesus is arisen from the grave. He is not there. Okay, he rose with all power in his hand for you and for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he gave us power to go forth and preach the gospel and teach the gospel to all nations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that other people can be saved. Glory to God. Not for us to hold it to ourselves, but so that other people can be saved. Glory to God. And I'm super excited about that. Why? Because he saved me. If he hadn't risen, honey, none of us would be saved. But he is risen. He's not there. There's no evidence that his body was stolen from anywhere. They were just paid to say that. But Jesus is not there. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for the saints. He's sitting there on the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for you and for me, glory to God. So we don't have to continue to live in sin. We don't have to continue to live a defeated life. Why? Because he's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, right now. You know how Satan just accuses the brethren? The Bible says Satan is an accuser of the brethren, but he's accusing right now. But guess what? Jesus is sitting right there interceding, glory to God, hallelujah, on your behalf and my behalf, glory to God, hallelujah. And we don't have to stay stuck. We don't have to stay stuck. Glory to God, hallelujah. And this is what we got to tell people. Just like Jesus rose from the dead, hallelujah, glory to God, so shall we, hallelujah, glory to God. And once we make that confession about Jesus, about Yahshua being our Lord and our Savior, guess what? Up from the grave we arose, hallelujah, because we were dead men walking, glory to God, hallelujah. But now we don't have to be dead men walking, glory to God, hallelujah, because we have risen from the dead spiritually, glory to God, hallelujah. When we going to catch that revelation that we are no longer dead, hallelujah. Hallelujah, as far as spiritually being dead, what we should be dead to is sin. We're supposed to be dead to sin and alive to God. That's what the word of God says, dead to sin but alive to God. Hallelujah. And when we went down to baptism, see, that's why Jesus said, he said it. He said, in the letter, he said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing. Baptizing. We're not supposed to forget about baptizing people. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. Teaching them to observe and to do all things that you saw me do. Okay, whatever I commanded you, that's what you're supposed to teach them and observe those things. Jesus got baptized. Jesus got baptized, and Jesus took communion. Yes, he did. These are the two sacraments that we need to be following, because Jesus took communion and he was baptized. So who are we to think that we don't have to do what he told us to do? Whatever you saw me doing, whatever you observed me doing, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
We're supposed to lay down our lives like he did. Jesus laid his life down for us. But we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about prosperity. We don't want to talk about this, and we want to talk about that. Jesus laid his life down for us, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lay our lives down for him. Nothing else is supposed to matter. Nothing else is supposed to come before him. We're supposed to lay our lives down just like he laid his life down for us. He didn't murmur and complain with the Father. He just went on and did what he was supposed to do. And because he did it, millions of people are saved. Millions of people have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because he laid down his life. He was obedient unto his Father. He laid down his life for us. Nobody took his life. He laid it down.
Yes, he did.
And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lay our lives down willingly. Why? Because we love God. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, for us. So we're supposed to lay our lives down, hallelujah, for him. For him.
Mm-hmm.
So that others can be born again. So that others can come out of darkness and into the marvelous light. But what our problem, a lot of our problems are, is that we don't want to lay down. We don't want to give up our lives. We don't want to give our lives for the brethren. We don't want to give up our lives so that others can come into the knowledge of who Yahshua HaMashiach is. We don't want to do that because that takes too much.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. But what if God's attitude was like that and said, you know, that's going to cost my son too much for me to lay his life down for them because they're not going to listen anyway.
What
if God would have took that position for us and said, you know what, Jesus, you don't have to lay down your life because they're not going to listen anyway. We would all be hell-bound with gasoline draws on, with no hope, with no hope. Oh, my God, hallelujah, glory to God. But God, because he loves us so much, he sent his son. He sent his son to take the penalty for our sin. He took his son to take the penalty for our sin. He loved us so much that he sent his son for our crookedness, for our perverseness. I heard the man of God pray, and he was talking about our crookedness and our perverseness, Avon, sin, transgression, being separated from God. And God just didn't want to take it no more. He wanted his people. He wanted a relationship with us. So he sent and made a way. He had a ram in a bush. And he made
Lord.
A way. And Jesus came and laid his life down. Yes, he was in a garden, and he said, if it be possible, that this cup pass from me.
Yeah.
God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, but nevertheless, not my will. Hallelujah, glory to God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's what he wants us to say. He wants us to say, nevertheless, not my will. He wants us to say, nevertheless, yes, Lord, I'll go for you. He wants us to say, nevertheless, yes, Lord, I'll lay my life down for you because these people need to be saved. Yes, Lord. Not in judgment and not in condemnation, but because God sent Jesus into this world to save the world. And now he's using us. He's using us to bring other people into the kingdom of light. Because he had to go back to be with his Father, glory to God, hallelujah. But he wants us to lay our lives down. He wants us to lay our lives down willingly so that other people can come into the kingdom, glory to God, hallelujah. He wants us to do it willingly. He wants us to love him so much that we lay our lives down so that this person can be saved, so this person can be delivered, so this person can be set free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He took those stripes for me. He bore those 39 stripes with that cat of nine tails. He bore those stripes for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, so that at that last day when the trump sounds, I can rise with him. Glory to God, hallelujah. So that you can rise with him, glory to God. So that your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, glory to God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah,
Amen.
Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah,
Amen.
God, glory, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. We say we love God, but we won't even lay our lives down. We won't even lay our lives down for that crackhead. We won't even lay our lives down to just go and pray. We won't lay our lives down for that person who's struggling. We won't lay our lives down, but we want to judge him and condemn him. But God wants us to lay our lives down. He's calling us today, glory to God, to a higher place in him. Hallelujah, glory to God. But if the cares of this world are what's prevalent in our lives, we're not going to lay our lives down. We're not. We can't, because everything else comes before anything else that God wants us to do. Hallelujah. But he's calling us today. He's calling us, hallelujah, glory to God, to lay our lives down, hallelujah, that we can bring other people into the kingdom, hallelujah. God's calling people every single day, but we don't want to lay our lives down. We got one foot in the world and one foot in him. And that's a facade, because it's not. That's not even real. That's not even real. That's a facade. There's no such thing as having one foot in the world and one foot in Christ Jesus. There's no such thing. Either you in Christ Jesus or you're not. There's no middle ground, glory to God. There's no middle ground. And God's not accepting the excuses anymore. Oh, well, I got to do this. I got to be this way. And then I got to be. No, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Because when Jesus cracks that sky, when that trump sounds and he cracks that sky, glory to God, hallelujah. Guess what? I want to go back with him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I don't want to be left here. I want to go back with him. I don't want to be left here. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus, help me, Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. We were not even going there, but hallelujah, the Spirit of God, he wants us to go into another place in him. That's all. He wants us to do what he said in Matthew 28, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He wants us to go and teach people that Jesus is no longer in the grave and he's not still hanging on that cross. He has ascended into heaven. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for you and for me. Hallelujah. He is not here, verse 6 says, for he is risen. He's not here. He's risen. Glory to God. And he told the two Marys to go and tell his disciples, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Go quickly and tell them. Go quickly and tell them.
Yeah.
That he is risen from the dead. And that's what he wants us to do. Quickly tell them that Jesus is risen from the dead. He's risen.
Mm.
He's not on that cross anymore. He's not in that grave. He's risen, glory to God. Hallelujah. And since he is risen, we need to rise. We need to rise. We need to rise in righteousness and holiness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Die to sin. Crucify that sin. And then become alive to God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Anyway, hallelujah, glory to God. We have area code 301 on the phone, on the line. I don't know if this is Mr. Pugh, but we're going to check in and see.
Hallelujah.
Amen, glory to God. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, an evening with Jesus and the Word.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Is
okay,
this Mr. Ernest
Pugh? Okay, Pugh, call it in. It is.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. I'm sorry. I saw you on the line, but I didn't know that was you. But I'm telling you, the words that were coming out of my mouth right then, I couldn't even stop because it's something that the Lord wanted us to know. Amen. So, look,
there
the Holy
go.
Spirit, we invite the Holy Spirit in, and we want him to do what he wants to do. But we're so glad you're here on tonight, and we thank you so much for joining us. This is Ernest Pugh, everybody. Ernest Pugh, I Need Your Glory. Hallelujah. We did play that song
That's
earlier on the
absolutely.
Broadcast.
Gotta
glory
have
to God.
It.
Yes. What? We got to have his glory.
Can't live without
know.
It.
Uh-huh.
Can't live without it.
Can't. Less of me and more of you. That, I'm telling you, that's the most favorite part of the song that I like right there. Less of me and more of you is what I need. I need
exactly.
You.
That's
we
what
all
made me
it.
Want to record it. That lyric is what made me want to record it because, you know, the Bible even tells us we have to decrease in order for him to increase within us, and that's when he can really use us, you know, when we kind of put our agendas aside.
Oh, can you say that again? When we do what?
When we put our agendas aside.
Oh, wow, I
you
like
know,
that, when we put our agendas aside.
Absolutely, and live for him. For him you live, and for him you die. Like you were saying earlier, you know, folks don't want to put their lives down. You know, they want to lift their life up. But if they learn that if they, you know, lift up the name that is above every other name, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. So
amen.
There was just something about that song that just really drove me. That lyric content right there, the whole less of me and more of you. If you want that Moses experience, I mean, that's what you're going to have to do. You know.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now,
sure.
The first question, did you write that?
I arranged it, but James Fortune actually was the original writer of the song. But I had been singing it around the country with my praise teams in corporate worship settings. It was literally like the power of God would just fall up in the place so strong. I said, man, I need this song because I want that type of experience every time I hit that stage. And he said, well, man of God, whatever, you know, God gives you, you know, just have your way with it. So I rearranged it a little bit to make it a little bit more corporate worship because I like when the people sing. It's one thing for me to sing, but nobody can take you to the presence of God and beyond the veil. You have to go.
You
have to create your own atmosphere. You have to make the atmosphere conducive in your own home, in your own life, in your own car. Make the atmosphere conducive for him to move and heal and deliver and do whatever he wants to do. But you got to open your mouth. And so I like when it's a corporate worship setting where the people sing. It ain't about me getting up there stirring up you. No, you come on. You come.
Yeah, because I actually seen some of your videos. I have seen some of your videos where you actually, you know, get the audience to sing. And that's something that I like because, like you said, everybody got to get that experience for themselves. You got to usher your own self into the presence of God instead of just waiting for people.
You ain't got an organ at your desk. You don't have that D3 in your house. But when you need to get in and touch him, you got to just go, you know.
Yes, glory to God. Now, let me. You know I don't have any of the questions in front of me, right? I don't have any of those questions in front of me right now. Number one, because my computer is really acting crazy. But number two, I don't know where they are. They're in there somewhere. The computer's really been acting up. And,
it's
that's
all good.
You know, I wanted to clear this up that when you were scheduled to be here on the 31st, you had a schedule conflict why you were not able to be on the broadcast. So I just wanted to clear that up. And I did post that somewhere, and it did go out on Google that, you know, you had a schedule conflict. That is why you were not able to join us on the 31st. So I just wanted to make that clear.
It's all good. It happens. As we are tonight in the process of mixing this Christmas record, and sometimes that's a very tedious process. So we get to going and going and going, and like, well, you know, you got the interview. Oh, we got it. And you look up and you're in a crisis, and I say, you got to call and let them please know that I don't even have a signal on my phone to even go and do it. So by that time, we were really late.
Did you finish the album?
Was praying. We finishing it this week. It's a Christmas record.
Okay, and it'll be out when?
It'll be out probably about the end of October in the stores, you know, right at the holiday time, so that by the top of November, people can actually start making their purchases of it. But the single will be out probably the next couple of weeks, and the album will be in the stores by the end of October.
Okay, y'all heard that? Y'all heard that? The end of October. Ernest Pugh's music will be out. The Christmas music will be out in October, the end of October. But listen out now for the single that's coming out in a couple of weeks. For the single. So how old were you when you became born again?
I was actually about 25 years old. That was probably my third time getting saved. Well, this time it happened for real at 25. And it was a midweek service. And, I mean, that man was preaching. I was in the military, of course, and he was teaching. And I had never heard anybody expound on the scriptures the way that he did. I was in Cypress Cove, Texas. And it was a midweek service. And when I tell you, God was speaking to me like how you are, saying, go up there. He was talking directly to you. I ordained this moment for you, and I gave you a second chance. And when I tell you, the gentleman that came to church with me, the reason it changed my mind, so I didn't ride back with them. My wife actually took me home, but I came to church with my two friends. It was three of us. And they had a head-on collision when they left the service. Now, neither one of them actually gave their life to Christ tonight, but for some reason, God was just speaking to me. We came together. We left separately. They were involved in a head-on collision. One of my friends actually died. He died on impact, but the other one lived. And when I tell you, it all became clear to me. I said, that's when I knew I got to quit playing around. There's a purpose for me being on earth. And God gave me a second chance. Now, I could have been one of those thrown from the vehicle.
Right.
But he gave me another chance in that service at 25 to give my life to Christ. And I grew up in church, but I'm just saying I just knew how to talk right. I knew how to get the lingo right. I could sing. I could dance. I could dance you out of anything. But I'm just and go right and smoke more weed than anybody. But when he really started dealing with me, I mean, it was like, I'm gonna give you this chance, and I'm speaking to you. If you don't do it tonight, this may be your last chance. And I did it at 25, and I'm so glad I did.
Wow, can you go back? Just can you go back and say that, because that part right there, where you say you said earlier that you had given your life to Christ like three times prior to that.
Right.
But then you said, you know, you was the best shouter, you know the best dancer in the church, whatever the case is, and you were still smoking weed and you were still doing the stuff you do, and that's the part that I want to hear right there, because there's still a lot of people out here claiming to have Jesus and still doing what you just got finished talking about. Can you just talk about that?
Oh, my God. And it came to a point where your conscience can actually get seared so much to where you can just be so comfortable with just living filthy in any kind of way, can come in God's presence, even though all through the Bible we see how people literally died in the presence of God when they played around.
Yeah.
When you touching you that close to the altar, you singing, you preaching, you dancing, you shouting. You know, I've been able to sing the way that I'm singing now since I was about 6 or 7 years old, and it wasn't anointed yet, but I still knew how to move a crowd. I knew how to hit my little high notes. I knew how to get a move going, but wasn't living nothing. And he was like, this is it. You can go mess around, go to hell singing about a Jesus you don't even know.
Oh, Felicia.
That's right.
And,
did you hear that?
I heard that.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I got my co-host on the line.
How you doing? I was comfortable, but I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, you know, in what I thought was an audible voice, when he gives you enough chance, you ain't promised it. See, my friend didn't make it, but I made it. And because I heeded the voice of God, I said, I'm not playing tonight. God spoke directly to my current reality where I was that night. And I'm telling you, I ain't turned back since. Now, that time it was real.
Well, all I know is what you said right there is just a testimony right there by itself. That what you said about you can go to hell singing about a Jesus that you don't even know.
Absolutely.
You can go to hell singing about a Jesus that you don't even know. And I'm telling you, it's so, oh, my gosh. We had Stacey Lattisall on a program the other night on Monday. And, you know, she just totally left the R&B world and is just preaching and teaching the gospel and singing for the Lord. And I asked her, I said, what is it? What happened that made you do that? And I'm asking you the same thing. Well, I don't have to ask you because you just gave your testimony, but sometimes we do things, and you said seared. Sometimes people get seared.
Yeah, your conscience becomes seared. You don't even, it doesn't even feel like, you know, it's no conviction. There's nothing, no Holy Ghost inside of you telling you don't smoke that, don't drink that, don't do that, don't go to that club, don't do, I mean, you just get so comfortable. It's just, and it's like, you know, we're born, we in the world, but we ain't supposed to be of the world, you know. You can become so comfortable in that to get pressed into the one amplified version of the Bible talks about being pressed into the mold, you sent it. Being pressed into the mold of the world, meaning your mind, your emotions, your will, your actions, are that of a person who has not been redeemed. And I mean, you sitting up in here, you hearing it, you singing about it, you dancing about it, but it has not hit you. You don't have no convictions. That's a dangerous place to be. And I got out of it just in time.
I'm glad you did, because that what you just described is entertainment.
Yeah,
it's not
absolutely.
A real relationship with God. That's entertainment. And unfortunately, Ernest Pugh, what happens is that we have been conditioned, and
right.
This is what we're going to teach about on Friday, I believe it is. We have been conditioned by tradition. And tradition says if you're in church shouting and dancing around, that you're okay. Okay?
Right.
The weeds that came off, or the guys that sweated their suits out. You know what I'm saying? And then you get back up. And you go out of the church and you do the same thing that you did before you came into church. This is entertainment. This is entertaining the flesh. But you got saved at 25 years old. Now, when did you know that you got filled with the Holy Ghost?
That same night, as a matter of fact, with the evidence, he said, if y'all listen, he said, the initial sign that you got it is you're going to speak in tongues. I was like, ain't no way he going to get that to happen with me. When I tell you, he said, you're not leaving, because you know what? He told the disciples, I don't care how good y'all preach and teach. He said, don't even try to go do nothing until you've been endued with power. I don't care how well you teach, how good you can sing. You're going to need that power, because when you come up against that warfare, there's nothing but being filled with the Holy Ghost that's going to be your weapon against that. So he would not let me leave. He said, God's hand is on you. You can't leave without it. Now, you got your salvation out of that last year, a little while, but you really need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. I ain't got time for all that, man. I got to be up running PT at 6 a.m.
You're funny. Listen, let me ask you, have you ever felt like you wanted to go into the RB world, or is this just it for you?
And initially I did, because like I said, I've been singing all my life, but when it's not anointed and you don't have direction and you don't have no convictions, you can wind up anywhere. And what I found out while I was out there, to not play around with music, that was also instrumental as to why I was in that service. Because music can drive out evil spirits, but it also attracts them. And so you can be controlled by that thing. And I was like, wow, this music is making people do. I don't want to make people do nothing that God ain't ordained for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I could do it. I mean, they offered me to go to clubs. I've always worked out and had my body together. So they were like, well, we'll pay you a little extra money. You know, this time you do the song, take your shirt off. I was like, I get more money. So slowly, because you know how it is, the enemy is very it's manipulative. So they were telling me, no, your music makes people. And I went in there just to meet a little extra side job and wanted to just use my voice to do something other than church. But the enemy had a plan for me, too, because I had become, I was young as I was making triple scale. I was making three times what people who had been singing for years was making. But I was, you know, as they would say, shake your money maker. You know, I was being used by a whole nother force. And once I found out what that was, this old lady in the store told me, she said, you need to get yourself somewhere and get yourself saved, because you're playing around. You're playing around with the gifts, and you think it's funny that you're making this money, but you know what? I'm telling you, you're going to gain the world and lose everything, lose your soul. You're getting the money, but guess what? You still ain't happy. Still ain't fulfilled.
We're going to play this broadcast again. We're going to play this again, because people need to hear this, because let me tell you something. So many people shaking their money makers and doing a whole lot of things. And like we said before, I believe it was before you got on the air, we can't live both ways. You either for God or you're not. You either in Him or you're not. It's not. The other stuff is a facade, and I love the Holy Ghost because that's what He said. He said, that's a whole facade. You can't be in God and in the world at the same time. That's a whole facade. It's a
fake. Can't be lukewarm. You get spewed out if you look warm.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I love this conversation. I told you I don't have the questions in front of me. I don't remember some of the questions, but how old were you when you knew that you had you could sing? How old were you when you really knew that you could sing? And then how old were you when you knew you really had a gift?
My great-grandmother, I was 8 years old. She was suffering with kidney disease, and she would always – and I had 10 sisters and 2 brothers, and out of all of them, I was the 7th child. And I was the baby boy, but she would always make me come to the foot of her bed and sing. And she would just start crying. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, my singing must be really bad. She always cried as she's doing. But what she was doing, she said, God has given you the same anointing that that David used to refresh Saul. And I'm young, so I don't know who David or Saul, none of these people are, but I'm listening to my great-grandmom tell me at 8 years old to just sing, son, just sing unto the Lord, sing that song that they did in church. And I would be at the foot of her bed, and she'd be just crying and crying and crying. And then finally, a couple of weeks before she died, she explained to me, she said, you have something that's very unique. All of your brothers and sisters can sing, but you're going to literally reach the nations. Now, she's telling me this at 8 years old. So, you know, I knew, I felt the great, the weight and the gravity of ministry at the age of 8. Now, I didn't know if I was going to preach it, sing it, or what. I knew I wanted, my flesh wanted to do things, so I wasn't ready to be tied down doing none of that. But it always came back to my mind what my grandmama told me. So around about 14, I started winning talent shows, all of that. Orlando Draper and the associates from Memphis started mentoring me and taking me around with the choir on weekends. Now, I was a 9th grader, and they were in college. So I was a 9th grader just getting to high school, but he had me traveling with Orlando Draper and Associates. They hadn't signed a record deal yet, but they were on their way. And then after that, it was just like, you know, I got into the front of the right people and just boom. After the military, started doing stage plays, or stage plays kind of got, you know, my first couple of national recordings out there. But it was a journey. And like I said, I knew at the age 8, but it really hit me, like after I got my gift anointed at 25, around 30, I had already got ordained to preach, and just went through the process, you know, of that whole ordination of preaching it, singing it, but doing it with a conviction and watching God change lives as a result of it.
Amen.
Well,
thank God for a praying grandmother.
Yep,
Shirley Caesar. Now, when you were with Orlando Draper and the Associates, I know they used to sing background for Pastor Shirley Caesar, correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you sing with them while they were doing while they were singing with Pastor Shirley Caesar?
When she did, no, I never stopped praising the Lord. When she did that, I was leaving. It was in '86. I was leaving for the Army. So I didn't get to sing on that recording, but we were at many concerts. I was just with Pastor Shirley Caesar last Thursday for her 40th year in ministry celebration, and I was her musical guest Thursday night. And she said, remember when you was a little old bitty something, and they would put you up there, and you would just sing to the power of God just far? I said, yeah. I said, but Pastor Shirley, I wasn't living or dying back then. She fell out laughing. Well, the gift was there.
Wow, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I used to love Orlando Draper and the Associates. I used to love them when they sang with Pastor Shirley Caesar. I don't know anything about them before then. But that song that you mentioned, I'll Never Stop Praising the Lord, I can't find it anywhere.
Yep.
I can't find it. I love that song. We used to sing it in school in the choir.
I know. I can't think of which album it's on. But that was one of her hot radio numbers.
Yes, it was. Everybody was singing that song, just like everybody is singing, I Need Your Glory. So, I mean, God has an appointed time for everybody to do what they're supposed to do.
That's right.
And
That's
thank
exactly
God that you were not killed in that car accident with your friend, because it could have turned out a whole other way that would be.
A whole other way.
Yeah, but you would have went to hell.
Right, because I hadn't got it together yet.
Right, so God gave you another chance. And this is what I want people to hear, that if God has given you another chance, take that chance with God. Take that chance with
God,
because Satan has nothing to offer you. Yeah. Like, that part where you said they was offering you to come in the club and take off your shirt, like, what was that about? That was to discredit you for real.
Right.
So
that,
that
was to
see,
be like, you want the money or you want to go over here and do this thing for God. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, church, again, you know, money, you do that for free. But when you come over mm-hmm. here and you, you know, sing and the women throw the money at you and all that, you, this is how you're going to build. So I'm thinking in my mind, oh, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to wind up making my living. And your mind can go there because the money and the, when they clap, that means I love you and all the prestige and everybody treats you. But it is a seductive setup. It is a seductive trap. And if you don't come out of that thing at the right time, you just get caught up. You look up, and everything is flashed before you. But just in time.
We do have we have a caller on the line, if you don't mind. I don't know who it is.
Sure.
But it's area code. It looks like 84. So let me see. Good evening. Welcome to An Evening with Jesus in the Word. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, they pressed the one, but they're not saying anything. But I do have Pastor Felicia on the line. Do you have any questions for Brother Ernest Pugh?
Amen. God bless you, Ernest. I do have a question concerning the Illuminati. I know that there, you know, a lot of people that have gotten into the industry,
yes.
You know, they have that, they have, you know, there have been some where they have come to see if they would sell their souls to the devil. Has that happened to you, or have you come across anyone, you know, that, you know, has come to you to try to get you to sell your soul or get you off track to see if it's possible?
Not since I've kind of got out here and got established, you know, as a gospel recording artist, but because, see, the devil's strategy and his plan is really to stop you before you get started. So before anybody could really pour into me or empower me or guide me, that's when I was getting all the opportunities to do so many things in the R&B world. But once I got over here, they kind of could just tell, you know, by what was coming out of my mouth on that stage, and listen, I'm not compromising.
Wow. When you were in the Army, did anybody ask you to sing? Did you sing when you were in the Army? Or?
Oh, yeah, I did it all the time. But I sang, like, the national anthem. They would have me to do the national anthem. They'd have me to do, like, funerals. They'd have me to sing at ceremonies. But nobody was really saying, take your gift over here to empower the body of Christ. Nobody was really saying that until I went to that Wednesday night service at Christian House of Prayer in Copper Cove, Texas.
So when you actually gave your life over to Christ, when you gave your life to God, okay, when you for real, the last time gave your life to God,
right.
Did you still have people around you from your former life who just really couldn't believe that you gave your life to the Lord and was trying to actually, like, persuade you not to,
mm-hmm.
you know, go into the Lord?
They were, but they also, and they were mostly people who were with me in the military and stuff, but they could actually see a change, like, immediately. I was like, I ain't doing the weed. I mean, if we come up positive on the urinalysis test, I can't take care of my family. You know, I had a baby girl at that time and had just, you know, was, got married and stuff when I was 18. So I had already had a family for 10 years. So I was like, it's time for me to grow up. It's time for me to walk away from this, to stand out, you know, for away from home for 2 and 3 days. My wife don't know where I'm at. But they could just tell. My friends were like, something seriously has happened with you. And I was like, it ain't about me trying to tell you, don't do this, don't do that. I don't do those things to get saved. I do them because I am saved. So my actions are a reflection of who I am and what I've been through along my walk. But I'm not convicting y'all. I'm not trying to, you know, condemn y'all. I've had my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have yours.
Yeah.
And so they got it. Then they got it. They was like, okay, well, something different. If you did it for you, you can do it for me. So all of my boys, they had to hang out with me. You know, we got to change this around. So when I flipped the script on them, you know, I was always a leader. So being a leader, and I was the ringleader, like I was the biggest drinker, I was the biggest smoker, I was the biggest whoremonger. So I was big at everything I did. So everybody that I had influenced over there, how about he used me to lead all of them? All of them wound up getting saved.
Hey, man. Now that's a testimony. That's a testimony right
there
by yourself.
He flipped the script. He flipped the script. And like Paul, remember Saul, he was persecuting the church, but what did he wind up doing?
Mm-hmm.
Paul wound up preaching.
Yeah. Yep.
Changed his name, and he wound up, and he was a chief among sinners, but he got it together and wrote over half the New Testament.
Yeah. Now, what kind of things do you do to prepare for your singing engagements? And I'm asking you this because sometimes people have a gift and think they don't have to do anything because, oh, well, I have this gift, I can sing. You know, so what do you do, you know, to prepare to go before audiences of any size?
On the practical side, I really rest my voice a lot. I do a lot of drinking water, try to stay away from stuff like, you know, sodas and sugar and stuff like that because you have to protect your vessel. But on the spiritual side, I really kind of like study the scriptures that kind of like go with the ad-lib to my songs because you don't never know if you have to cut that music and just flow prophetically. You don't know what's going to happen. So when you come before the people, I never just take it for granted that, oh, I know the words in my song. No, I always want to prepare myself and put something in there. It's kind of like you teach your mouth the words so that when it needs it, it can come out. It's just that word, if I hear it in my heart, that, you know, I won't sin against you. But also, I hear it in my heart, so when I get ready to call it up in that situation where I got a suicide victim, I know how to minister grace to them based on the fact that I've already studied to show myself approved. And, you know, it says, you need not be ashamed, rightly divided and true. So if he said rightly divided, that means you can wrongly divide it. And I don't want to ever stand before God's people and wrongly divide the truth. And
like
have
their
blood.
Yeah, that's good. Y'all heard that? He said, if you can rightly divide the word, you can wrongly divide the word. And that's
right.
True. And that's how heresy and stuff gets out there in the world because people
right.
are wrongly dividing the word and calling evil good and good evil. And God's not in that. He's just not in it. And I don't know, do I have any more questions? Oh, one more question. If you had to say something to people who are listening right now who are not born again yet, okay, what would you say to them? What would you say to them to encourage them to give their lives over to Jesus Christ? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we lost him. Hey, right when we were talking about giving your life over to Jesus Christ, what would you say? It went off, but I believe he'll call back in. But he has a powerful testimony.
Yes, he does. I can't say my God.
The third time he finally got saved.
I've been there, shoot. It was about the 1,000th time for me, shoot. I was showing up playing church.
He was talking straight about us because that's what we did. We've done that too many times where we have actually just, you know, going up to the altar and say we give our life to the Lord and just went right back outside and act like a dummy, act stupid, and just do the same things that we were doing before. I told y'all that we got baptized in the Baptist church. The first time I got baptized, I went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. Ain't nothing changed. My sister is here raising her hand. She was like, yeah, that was me. But a lot of us can say that. But, you know, like Evangelist Max says on her broadcast that you just got to get it together. You got to make up your mind that you're going to be sold out or you're not. You know, God has, she said this morning, she said, God has allowed me to live for 55 years. She said, 55 years I have been on this earth. And she said, I have said I gave my life to the Lord several times and didn't really do it. She said, but God gave me another chance, and when he gave me that chance, I took it. And I thought that was very profound because we should look at it that way, that when God gives us another chance, take that, take it. Don't take it for granted. And she said that this morning, and I'm sitting there like, wow. You know, I'm 48. I don't know, you know, when my ticket number is going to be up. I have no idea. Like none of us know. Okay, but if God's given us a chance, we ought to take that chance because we don't know when we're going to get a chance again. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's like when she said that this morning, then listen to what he said. He could have been in that automobile. He could have been dead. His friend actually died, and he hadn't given his life to the Lord. I don't want people around me. That's why when I was in the hospital this past week, I was asking people when they came in my room, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Not do you know of him. Do you know him? Do you know this man that gave his life for you? Do you know him? Maybe you heard about him, and maybe somebody told you a little bit, but do you know him? And this is what God is impressing upon me now, is to ask people, do you know him? And if you don't, get to know him. Get to know him. Because you don't know when your time is coming, and you don't know when Jesus is coming. You cannot get to know him while he's cracking the sky. You can't, when the trumpet sounds, that's not the time to try to get to know him. How are you going to get to know him when the trumpet is sounding? First of all, you're not going to even be able to hear yourself think when the trump sounds. You're going to be so worried about, oh, my God, you know, is that really Jesus? Some people are going to be, they just so skeptical that Jesus could crack the sky right now. They would not believe that was him.
You're right.
We're preaching the word of God right now, and people will not believe that God is God and that Jesus is coming back through that sky. People will still look at us today and be like, yeah, whatever. People get on Barbara Mack's show in the morning, and they say all kind of stuff. Jesus ain't real. God ain't real. This is a fairy tale. Okay, I'd rather believe he's real and it not be true than not believe he's real and it really is true. Okay,
right.
And then find yourself in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, because while he's giving you the chance to get it right, you refuse to get it right. You refuse to lay down your life. You refuse to obey God. Everything and everybody else comes before God. And it's fun. I got my hand raised. It got to go to another level, even with me. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, but guess what? I got to go to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to a whole nother level in the spirit where stuff just doesn't matter. Nothing matters but God and getting this gospel preached. That's all that matters. The numbers don't matter. You know, whatever, all of this stuff. What matters is getting people in the kingdom. Why? Because he snatched me out of the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
He pulled me out of the kingdom of darkness. As many times as I went to, I don't know how many churches I went to and said I gave my life to the Lord. I don't know how many times I did that. But God in his mercy, I don't know why he didn't let me die in my sin. I don't know why he didn't let me die, but he didn't. Okay? And now he can use my mouth to preach his gospel. But I don't want to be like Ernest Pugh and preach the gospel. And like he said, you could be singing and sing your way right to hell. Yeah, souls might get saved while you singing, but what about you? What about your heart? What about your soul? What about you? You understand? Even though we're so interested in getting people to come into the kingdom of light, because we can't save anybody. All we can do is teach them about Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We got to lift him up, okay? But we can't forget about us. We got to make sure that our salvation is right. Our salvation is sure. We got to make sure that we're living a holy life and a righteous life. We can't be out here teaching and preaching the gospel and then we be a castaway.
That's right. Amen.
Look, let me tell you something. I'm not going to be a castaway. Like me, don't like me. Love me, don't love me. I couldn't care less. I'm not going to be a castaway. I got to get into the kingdom of God for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get into the kingdom for myself. Just like everybody else got to get into the kingdom for themselves. But we got to teach this gospel. We got to lay our lives down like this is very serious. This is very serious. We'll break our necks to do everything else. When it comes to God, I'll do that later.
Mm.
I'm saying that because that's what I do. I still do that sometimes. Like, I ain't gonna. I'm gonna do that later.
I know I do. Yeah.
And I'm saying it because I want people listening to this. I want them to be free. Like, I really want them to be free and understand that. Look, we still got this flesh body, but we don't have to let our flesh rule us. We don't have to let our flesh rule us. We tell this flesh to sit down somewhere. I'm going to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
And then obey God. What's hard about obeying God? What's hard about not smoking weed anymore? I mean, he was in the church smoking. He was smoking weed. I was smoking weed. I was drinking. I was doing everything and still in the church, sneaking around the corner, shacking up with somebody, thinking nobody knew what I was doing. And that's how dumb the devil had me. He had me on display. And I'm thinking I was high. dumb with a capital D. And this is what he said, you can sing your way to hell. You sitting up there singing and people in there, they really giving their hearts to the Lord, whatever, but you going to hell after you did all of that. What kind of foolishness is that? When all we got to do is lay down our lives. That's all we make it hard, Felicia. Why do we make it so hard?
Because we like to cater to our flesh, and we don't like to come out of our place of comfortable ability, however you say the word, being comfortable. We don't like to be in, we don't like to be out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, we don't like to be out of our comfort zone. And then when we go to hell and uncomfortable in hell, then we're going to want to say, well, God, why you put me in hell?
And then, I was just going to say, and then we like to sin. That's another one.
We what?
We like that sin. Whatever sin we in, we like to do it. I know when I was saying, I did it because I liked it.
I did too. Didn't nobody force me to sin? They ain't forced me to lie and steal. They ain't nobody forced me to do that. Nobody forced me to fornicate. Nobody forced me to commit adultery. Nobody forced me to do that. I did it because I wanted to. I did it because the less of the flesh, the less of my eyes, and the pride of life. I did it because I just wanted to. It felt good. I liked it.
And then, we feel because we got away with it that it's okay,
And that's what happens. That's what happens now. And that's what I wanted to ask Ernest Pugh, and I hope he can call back on the line. He must be in an area where his call can't get back in. But I wanted to ask him, what do you tell your friends? Like, this persona that you have publicly, what do you do privately to make sure that you don't go back out there? What are you doing privately? Like, your prayer life, are you praying and fasting? You got to be, for the glory to come down like it does, you got to be doing something right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we got to make a conscious decision. What do we want to do? Do you love God or do you love sin? If you love sin, then you really love the devil. How can you love God if you really love sin? How can you? When I was out there drinking, I was drinking because I liked it. When I was smoking, I didn't really like smoking. I did it because it was, I wanted to fit in with the crowd. So I liked the crowd, but I didn't really like the smoking. But in order to be with the crowd, I had to smoke. So I did the smoking because I wanted to be with the crowd. But the drinking, I like the drinking. And I like the smoking weed. I like that too. See, but that's why I can't be around people that do that now. Okay? Because of my love for sin when I was in it, and because of the propensity to be an alcoholic in my family, I can't subject myself to that. Not that I don't love my family. I just can't put myself in that position, because if I keep putting myself in that position sooner or later, that drink going to really look good to me because it already happened. It already happened.
Right.
Okay? And
right.
I did. I had my drink. And then right around that time when that happened, people were just coming to me, telling me, girl, you got lupus. You need to go on and get you some red wine and just drink yourself some red wine and drink that every day. Now, you're talking to a former alcoholic.
Jesus.
And you go ahead and drink that wine, girl. Go ahead and drink that wine. It's going to be I don't think I should do that. But I did it. Girl, I was popping shots back. Let me tell you something. I was popping back peach snot shots. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Because I wanted to fit in with my family. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to And God convicted me. I will not take another drink. Do you hear me? I don't care who it is. I will not take another drink. The devil is a liar. Anything to discredit my walk with the Lord. But see, then I have to make a conscious decision whether I want to do that or not. I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I made a conscious decision to throw those shots back. Yes, I did. And guess what the funny part about it was?
What's that?
I couldn't even get drunk.
All right, been there.
I couldn't even get Felicia. I couldn't even get drunk, and I was sitting there. I was just like looking at myself. Like, yeah, my sister, she getting on. She was there. My other sister was there, and she just got finished saying. She said she got drunk, and she was rolling around on the floor, had me laughing. I was laughing so hard I was crying. But see, I don't have to get drunk to be funny. I don't have to get drunk to act up. It's just naturally in me to act that way. Okay, I don't need liquor. This chick was rolling around on the floor like a beached whale. It was funny. Like, we were like, what are you doing? She was just rolling around on the floor. And anything that takes you out of your natural mind, understand, anything that takes you out of, we don't need it. We don't need anything to take us out of our natural mind. We need to focus on God. I'm trying to tell you, when I tell you, and I tell people these things about myself because there's people out there listening that are secret alcoholics. They go home and they drink and don't nobody really know that they drink. Okay, and you're wondering why you can't get drunk. Because God don't want you to drink. Why don't you, when you going to wake up to the revelation that he don't want you to drink? People out there getting high, got weed and get high, and you're not even really enjoying it. Why? Because God is calling you to a higher place to put that mess down. He's calling you to walk in the spirit and stop fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And you wonder why all of this is happening, this is happening, all of that, all of that. Because you trying to straddle a fence that's not even there. You try to straddle an invisible fence. And I thank God for him revealing that to me and saying, you're saying that you're 1 foot in and 1 foot out. You a lie. You either in or you either out. There is no fence. You're straddling an invisible fence. There's nothing there.
Amen.
So we make up this stuff. Because we've been conditioned to tradition. We've been conditioned to believe this falsehood. And you know the Holy Ghost just dropped that in there today before Mr. Pugh got on the line, right?
All right, now.
He said that's a facade. It's fake. Stop saying that. Because there is no 1 foot in and 1 foot out. You either in or you out. I'm a Christian on Sunday. No. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm not. Or I'm a Christian on Sunday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and Friday. Whenever the church doors open, that's when I'm a Christian. But other than that, I'm not a Christian. What? Who is being fooled? You or God? God ain't fooled on no day of the week. And I'm saying this because I lived it. I'm saying it because I lived it. This is what I did. These are the kind of dumb things that I did. And then think. Excuse me, then think God is going to co-sign on it. God ain't co-signing on none of that. He's not co-signing on any of that. Let me get my English correct. God isn't co-signing on any foolish. I had to say it. Let me speak clear English and proper English, okay? God is not going to approve sin, okay? He's not going to approve sin. I don't care how much we want him to, how much we wish him to, God is not going to approve sin. Now, I'm going to share something with you. My sister posted on Facebook today. It says, either the Bible will keep you away from sin or sin will keep you away from the Bible.
That's right.
How do you like that one? Either the Bible will keep you away from sin or sin will keep you away from the Bible. And that's why we don't want to read the Bible, because we know the Bible won't keep us away from sin. The Bible is going to open our eyes to sin and how much God hates it. That's why we don't want to read the Bible. That's why we get sleepy when it's time to read the Bible, because Satan does not want us to get into God so much so that we run away from sin. That's why we get sleepy and we have those yawn attacks when it's time to read the Bible and when it's time to pray. I'm telling you, this morning I couldn't wake up. I couldn't wake up. Until my eyes did not open up until 5 minutes after 7. I promise you that. I couldn't wake up to go in 6 o'clock prayer. Why? Because the enemy heard me say I was going to be in prayer. And I couldn't wake up. I said, well, what kind of foolishness is this right here? When I looked, I was like, I felt so bad. I was like, oh, my God, Lord, I put the word out there that I was going to be in prayer at 6 o'clock, and I wasn't even there. Like, I felt so bad, but I couldn't wake up. And I'm like, okay. Anything to try to discredit the word, you know, try to discredit what I said. But that's all right. God's still going to get the glory. God's still going to get the glory, like it or don't. God's still going to get the glory. But the bottom line is we got to tell people that Jesus is risen. He's not in the grave anymore. Up from the grave, he arose. We do not You understand? We do not have to wait for Easter to tell people that Jesus rose from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all better stop waiting for Easter to tell people that Jesus rose from the grave.
I know that's right.
Up from the grave, he arose. Y'all got tradition, conditioned by tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to get unbrainwashed. You know, when people leave the White House or leave a job that has a high level of security, they have to get, it's a training. They call it, OMG, what's the name of that training? They call it D. My sister said deprogram. And that's what it is. They have to deprogram you. They have to tell you that there are certain things that you can never say about the company. If people ask you questions, you can never acknowledge X, Y, Z about the company. There's the things that people who have left the White House, you can never repeat things that you heard in that White House. You know, you can't you debrief. Thank you. My sister said debrief. They debrief you. Okay? And we need to be debriefed. Okay,
amen.
We need to be debriefed about some things. You don't have to wait till Easter to say up from the grave he arose. You don't have to wait, okay, for Resurrection Sunday or whatever you want to call it to talk about the risen Savior. But that's what we do. We don't have to wait for Christmas to tell people about this baby that was born in Bethlehem. We don't have to wait until these seasons that have been set aside by somebody to tell us that that's when we're supposed to worship Jesus or worship God or, you know, those things. We don't have to wait for that. My sister says she always wanted to. She is over here. I have to pop her. Go get the other phone. Why do we? Because we've been conditioned by tradition. Somebody made that up, that we're supposed to have Christmas on December the 25th. Somebody made up Easter.
I personally don't celebrate neither of those as far as.
But I mean, if you want to use those dates for people to have some form of, you know, worshiping God or remembering Jesus. And remember what he did? Okay, if that's what that's the date that you want to choose to do. But the point of this is that we should be doing this every day.
That's right.
We should be
Amen.
Doing this every day because now Christmas has become so commercialized. It's about the tree. It's about the gifts. Everybody wants you to come to their store and get this sale. Oh, I want this gift. It's about this and it's about that. Where's Jesus in the mix? His name, you can't even say Christmas anymore. It used to go, it went from Christmas to Xmas to Happy Holidays. You're a lie, devil. See, this is why things happen. We need to be lifting up Jesus every day. You heard? We need to be lifting him up every day. We need to be talking about his resurrection every day. We need to talk about what happened on that cross every day. We need to be telling somebody about the experience of Jesus. Facebook, we got Facebook. We need to be telling people about up from the grave he arose on Facebook. And people are going to start asking, what you mean he arose from the grave? What that mean? It means that if you believe on this risen Savior, that you will have eternal life. If you believe that he is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead, you shall have eternal life. That's what it means. He not in the grave. You know, Confucius and Buddha and Muhammad and all of them people, if they were real, whoever they are, okay, they went to the grave and they ain't come back yet. All right? I'm not trying to make no fun of nobody, and I'm going to say this straight up. Daddy Grace has not come from the grave yet, okay? Bishop McCullough and Daddy Grace is still in the grave. They haven't come back yet, all right? Any person who has died and gone on is supposed to be some type of spiritual leader or somebody who, you know, Martin Luther, he has not even come back yet. Martin Luther, he's still in the grave. I don't know that anybody was expecting him to come back, but he hasn't come back yet. Okay, Jesus is the only one out of this group of people who has come back from the grave, and nobody wants to believe that he came back from the grave. All the other religions want to say he didn't come back from the grave, or they stole his body, or he never even really died. It was really no Jesus, yada, yada, whatever. Believe what you want to believe. Okay? I tried the Bible, and the Bible is real. Y'all can say what y'all want to say. I tried the Bible. I've tried God on his word. God said, my word will not come back to me void. It will accomplish that what I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I tried God on his word. And don't you know his word never went back to him void? Whatever it was sent out to do is what it did.
Yes. Amen.
And it's 2012, and God's word is still going to go and do whatever it's sent out to do. Whether you can believe it or don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe that the Bible is real, okay? You believe all them history books. When we were back in school, they told us everything in the history book was true, and we believed it. This is 2012, and they're changing stuff in the history books. Things that they told us was real back then is not even real.
All right, now.
I came from a monkey? I ain't come from no monkey. But see, you believe that mess. You believe it. I believe the word of God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created man in his own image, and I know God is not a monkey. He's not an ape. He's not a gorilla. I didn't come from that.
Mm-hmm.
My mama wasn't no ape or no gorilla. Neither was my daddy. My daddy might have acted like an ape or a gorilla, but he wasn't one. Let me tell you something. This is Teresa. All day, every day. This is Teresa. Okay? I don't have to go out to into the world and seek other people and other things. Okay? I don't need that. Turn the fan around. I don't need that. Understand? This is my sister said, I'm Teresa, keep it real, Scott. That's who I am. Okay? I don't need the evangelist title. I don't need, people have called me all kinds of things. They call me evangelist. They call me pastor. They call me prophetess. They call me bishop. They don't call me all kind of things. Okay? And those are the clean names. All right? They call me all kind of things. We're not going to talk about the other names.
All right, man.
Oh! Anywho, I said all of that to say that we better be preaching Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we better do. They hated Jesus when he was here talking about the kingdom of God. They're going to hate us when we talk about Jesus. It just is. So you ready? You ready to be hated? You ready to be talked about? And when you start dropping your friends off because they still cursing and you trying to get away from that? Oh, it don't take that much. You don't have to do a why. I want to be right with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I want to be hanging out with my sisters, sometimes my heart hurts because I want to hang out with them and I can't.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because I can't be over there in karaoke because I can't go to karaoke because they're drinking and stuff in a bar. I can't go there and be in that atmosphere. And sometimes it hurt. I'd be like, Lord, I want to hang out with myself. And he'd be like, no, you can't do that. And then he'll say, well, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You want to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a moment because you want your soul, your flesh to be satisfied? And then he had to snap me out of it. I'm like, whoa. Just like that. But that's what happens when you begin to fall in love with him, when you begin to fall in love with God. Your whole desire changes. You like, you know, I love y'all. Y'all go on and do what y'all want to do. I'm going to see y'all on the flip side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to see y'all on the other side. Yeah. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you. I'm better than no one. But my desire for him is just changing. My desire to be like him is getting stronger. My desire to be holy and without spot or blemish is changing so much that I want to be like my Heavenly Father. I want him to be proud of me. I would, you know what, if my mom could just come back to me right now and say, I'm proud of you, daughter, that would just mean so much to me. But guess what? I know she can't. But as much as I would want for my mom to say that, I want God to say that 10 times more. I'm proud of you, daughter. I'm proud of you. That's what I want him to say. Because guess what? At the end of the day, all that matters is what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy can come back all day long and say, I'm proud of you, daughter, but God knows my heart. And so what matters is what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't look at it that way. Man can applaud you all day long, just like with Ernest Pugh. Man can applaud him all day long and praise him and say, you know, you sang so well, and you this and you that. But guess what? At the end of the day, if God is not pleased, We could glorify a man all day long and pat him on the back all day long. But at the end of the day, if God is not pleased, what does all of that other stuff matter anyway?
Yeah.
What does it matter if Ernest Pugh gained the whole world and lose his soul? Like he said, what would it matter if I preach the gospel to millions and millions of men and lose my own soul? I'm going to tell y'all right now, if y'all ever smell pride coming up on me, y'all better pray for me like you ain't never prayed before.
Yeah.
If it look like Teresa's high-minded and this, that, and the third, you better pray for me like you never prayed for me before.
Yes, I know that's right.
And tell me, Sister Teresa, you little beside yourself right now, I think you need to pray. I'm serious. Don't let me go to hell on account of pride. Don't let me go to hell on account of high-mindedness. Don't let me go to hell on account of I think of myself more highly than I ought to think. Don't let me do that. If you love me, don't do that. Don't sit idle by and watch me go to hell. Don't do that. What you think God gonna do to you if you sit there and watch me go to hell?
Hmm. All right.
It's just a question. What you think God's going to do to you and you sit by and watch me go to hell?
No.
All I'm worried about is I'm getting in heaven, but you not. Huh? You sat there and let me walk in pride? You sat there and let me act the way I was acting? You ain't say nothing? And I'm on the Blog Talk Radio, going to be on TV soon? And y'all just let me, come on now. That means you didn't love me.
I
didn't say beat me down with a nightstick or nothing like that. I didn't say tase me or anything like that. Or mace me. I didn't say do none of that. But come on now. Help a sister out.
Mm-hmm.
Help a sister out. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm human. Just like you are, I'm fallible, just like you are, but I want to make it to heaven. Can you help me make it to heaven? As I help you make it to heaven. All this preaching the gospel, all of this talking about the gospel, I better know the gospel for myself. All this singing about, I need your glory, I want your glory, less of me and more of you, he better make sure it's less of him and more God. And that's what we all better do. We better make sure it's less of us and more of God. Less of me and more of you, that's what I need. That don't need to be a cliche. That needs to be something that we desire of the Lord. Less of me and more of you, that's what I need. I need that. I need the flesh of Teresa to just die, to be crucified. It got to be crucified. This flesh always want to do what it want to do. I need your glory, Lord. But see, God said, I'm not going to share my glory with no man. He not, You talking about you want his glory, but you all prideful. And I'm not talking about Ernest Pugh. I'm just talking about in general.
Mm-hmm.
See, because of God's grace and mercy, he'll let his glory fall on the place. Yes, he will. But I don't want the glory of God to fall on everybody else and skip me.
I know, right?
I don't want the peace of God to fall on everybody else and skip me. I don't want the anointing that destroys every yoke to everybody else get healed, and I still leave out the building and I'm not healed.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, El. What is that about? But there's a sacrifice that has to be made. You really want his glory? For real? For real? Some stuff I will not sing because there was a song by, I can't think of the man's name right now, and I wouldn't sing it. He said, I'm sold out. The man is saying, I'm sold out. Hezekiah Walker. You know I wouldn't sing that song? The church that I was going to sang the song, and somebody said, when the choir was singing, why you just sat there like that? I said, because I didn't want to lie. I didn't want to sing I was sold out because I wasn't. Somebody say, fake until you make it. I don't want to fake it until I make it. I wasn't sold out. So I didn't sing the song. Y'all can sing it if y'all want to. If y'all sold out, that's all good. But I wasn't there. I am sold out. My mind is made up. My mind wasn't made up, not all the way. I wasn't sold out. And that's what God's trying to get us to. So we could be sold out for him. Not sold into sin anymore, but sold out. Come out of bondage. Come out of darkness. Come out for real. Let me tell you, the benefits far outweigh anything Satan can offer us. Anything Satan offers us is hell, death, and destruction anyway. Why do you want anything from Satan? Why do you want anything from the devil? He don't have nothing to offer but hell, death, and destruction. That's all. You entertain right now. You entertain. You having a little bit of fun right now. But what happens in the end? You drunk now, but what happened when you wake up?
My.
I was a crazy drunk. I did anything. I fight. I laugh. I would do anything. It didn't matter. I had liquid courage, so I thought I was superwoman. I'd do anything when I was drunk. But then the consequences, then when you sober, the people's like, oh, you had all that mouth while you was in the bar. You had all that mouth. Now I'm going to get you. I can't fight if I'm not drunk. So now my mouth wrote a check that my butt can't cash. And that's the same thing be happening. We just be, going on, Satan co-signing. He like, yep, say this, say that. Uh-huh, he co-signing. And then when you sober, you're like, uh-oh. You drunk and you sleeping with this person and that person. Now you pregnant. You don't even know who the daddy is.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, uh-oh. Then you on Mari's show, you on there 17 times because you don't know who your baby daddy is. Or, you know, you somebody in the church and then next thing here you are, you pregnant and everybody talking about you. You wonder why they talking about you. Well, this is what happened. And Satan, what is he doing? Making a complete mockery out of you, making a joke. And that's what he want to do. So he can run to the Father and say, see, I told you. She said she was a Christian, for real. I told you she wasn't. See, she just cursed. I told you. Accuser of the brother. I told you. And we give him so much ammunition to run back to God the Father with. Area code 864. If you have anything you'd like to say, can you please press the 1 and I'll get you back on the line? Or I'll get you on the line because I pressed it. I got you on the line before, but you didn't say anything. Area code 864. Yes, well, guess what? I don't have anything else to say. We have 14 minutes left. So, Pastor Felicia, I don't know if you have anything to say or not, but we're going to end the broadcast if you don't.
I surely don't, but I know, you know, I appreciate, you know, everything that was said. It's still, you know, it's truly ministering to me, amen. And we all have some things that we have to, you know, allow God to remove ourselves, amen, out of our lives, amen. And I just thank God for his word, and I thank God for the conviction of his word, and, That passage, you know, go, what is it, go ye therefore teach all nations, just go, you know, sometimes it's just selfish and we get lackadaisical, you know, and we don't want to do what God has called, you know, commanded us to do. So I just thank God for his word. I thank God for Ernest Pugh coming, for his testimony, you know.
He had a wonderful testimony. And what I'm going to encourage you to do, because I'm going to do the same thing, I'm going to post this on some people's walls so that they can listen to it, because it, I mean, some of the stuff that he said, well, all of the stuff that he said was just right on time. Whether people want to adhere to it or not, you can't make anybody do anything, but you can offer it to them and let them hear. Because sometimes, and unfortunately, like I said, when Stacey Ladislaw was on the line, is that sometimes you have to have a celebrity to come on and say something for people to listen to what you're saying. You know, they'll receive it from a celebrity. And a lot of people miss the message because they're looking at the messenger. You understand what I'm saying? They, I don't want to listen to Teresa because she used to be. You're right. I used to be. You're exactly right. If you don't want to hear the message because of who Teresa used to be, then that's your problem. I'm just I'm just obligated to give the message out. I'm obligated to give out the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm obligated to.
Yeah.
If you don't want to listen to it because of the messenger, later for you. Shake the dust off my feet. Bye-bye. Got to keep it moving. And that's how it is. You know, this is why I don't let people tell me that I am a sinner. Don't do that. Don't tell me I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, I'm not. I was a sinner saved by grace. I was a drunk. I'm not a drunk anymore. I was a drunk. But God delivered me. So please stop calling me a sinner saved by grace, because I'm not. I hate when people do that. People really, yes, you are. Okay. Bye, boy, because I'm not. I was a sinner. And I got saved by grace. The meaning of that is that I was in sin. But God saved me through faith in Jesus Christ. Now I am not a sinner. I do sin because I am still in this flesh, but I am no longer a practicing sinner. I am not a sinner saved by grace. How can I be a sinner saved by grace? If I'm still a sinner, then I'm not saved by grace.
All right.
Look, y'all don't have to believe me. Y'all don't have to accept what I'm saying, but this is how I look at it, okay? Maybe that helps me. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm saved by grace. I was a sinner. I used to be out there. I did. I was. Oh, my gosh. She is really laughing at me. This is not funny. Felicia is over here cracking up. Because that's how I feel about it. Don't label me. Don't label me. Don't label me. If you want to label me, call me holy. Call me a holy woman.
All right,
now. If you want to label me that. We know what transpired. I was a sinner. God saved me because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But don't label me. If you want to label me holy. Label me a holy woman of God. And if you don't think I'm living holy, if you keep speaking holiness over me, I'm going to be holy. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Area code 864-359. Hello.
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 I hear you.
Yeah. All right, I was calling in. I'm getting ready to have surgery on next Thursday. And want you all to give me a good prayer, please.
All right, who am I speaking to?
My name is Mary.
Mary?
This is my daughter's phone.
Okay, Mary. Thank you for calling in tonight. Pastor Felicia, let's pray for Mary because she's going to have surgery. Is it this week, Thursday, or next week, Thursday?
Next week, Thursday.
Mary, are you born again?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I had to ask that question.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. And I know you've been on the line for a long time because you called and then the call dropped and then you called back. So I just wanted to say first, thank you so much for tuning in on this evening. But let's just go ahead and pray for Mary because she's going to have surgery. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for Mary tuning into the broadcast on tonight. And Father, we thank you even for her requesting prayer on tonight and trusting us enough to pray for her. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just lift up Mary to you, Lord God, and whatever this surgery is consisting of, Father, we just pray for the victory right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift the doctors up to you, Lord God. We lift up the doctors to you and ask you, Lord God, that they will be guided by your Holy Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that everything that they do concerning Mary, Lord God, will be good in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bind and rebuke any accidents, Lord God. We bind and rebuke any misdiagnosis, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for her complete healing, her complete recovery in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, I pray for the doctors right now, God, even the doctors that may not know you, that they will be saved because they operated on Mary. God, in the name of Jesus, Father, I know that you can do this, God, and I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that this is an assignment, Lord God, for somebody to be delivered and set free, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the nurses. I pray for the assistants, oh God, to the doctors, Lord God. I pray for those that are handling the instruments concerning her surgery, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that they are on one accord, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I pray for the instruments that they will be sanitized, oh God, properly in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And I thank you for it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, I pray that when they do the operation, oh God, that the operation will be a complete success, that there will be no instruments, no items or anything left in Mary's body, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, we just bind and rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that you fill that room with your Holy Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I ask you to do this for your child, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, as they begin to operate on the Lord, God, whoever is not saved, I pray, God, that you will just send an angel, whatever you got to do for this person to be saved, that they will become and save the God in the name of Jesus. I just believe that you will do that. I believe that you will do that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Whoever, Lord God, needs to come back to you, whoever is backslidden needs to come back to you, I pray, God, that you will use this operation to bring them back to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And Father, I just lift up Mary to you, and I bind and rebuke all fear, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. But you have not given her the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and I thank you for it, that she's coming out of this victorious, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for peace for her family right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Those who are nervous and are fearful, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, that you will give them peace. Hallelujah. Let them know, God, that you're in control of this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I say thank you for it right now. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're welcome, Mary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just thank you. Hallelujah. That is already done, and you are already healed in Jesus' name.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Thank you for tuning in. Glory to God. And since we just had that prayer, we just want to just offer Jesus again, because Matthew 28 told us to. Jesus told us to in Matthew 28. And I know in my Bible that those letters are in red, so it means that Jesus actually said that, those things. He said all of it, but, you know, when it's in red, Jesus was actually talking to the people when he said these things. So he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But I want to hop back up here to verse 6 in Matthew chapter 28, and it says, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. He said, and go quickly in verse 7 and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you quickly that Jesus is risen from the dead. He's not in that grave anymore. He's risen. Glory to God. Because he is risen, you can rise again on the last day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you would just believe what John chapter 3 says. John chapter 3 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. But God sent his Son into the world, hallelujah, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's him I'm talking about is Jesus. This him I'm talking about is Yahshua HaMashiach, as my husband so eloquently says, Yahshua HaMashiach. But let me just read one more thing to you in John, 1 John chapter 5, it says, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And Pastor Felicia, I would like for you to post that on your page as long as the Holy Ghost tells you to. 1 John chapter 5, because I'm going to post it on mine. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. okay? We got to get this out there. He that has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the Son, and the Son is Jesus, if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And you can't say that you have the Son and keep living like the devil. You can't have the Son and the devil at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, please correct me. But I know the Word of God. It's either one or the other. It's either one or the other. And I offer you this Jesus that we're supposed to tell you about, this Jesus that we're supposed to go and tell them about, that he is not here. He's not risen. You don't have to wait to Easter to get this Jesus that we're talking about. You don't have to wait till Easter. You can get him right now. Right now. Today is August the 15th, 2012. If you may even listen to this in the archives, and it's another day, but don't you know you can stop what you're doing right now and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Don't you know you can give your heart to him right now, wherever you are, no matter what time of day it is, that you can give your heart to him? Glory to God. You don't have to wait to go to an edifice, to a building called a church. You don't have to wait to go there. You can do it right where you are. Why? Because God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's right there where you are right now. Just accept Jesus through faith. That's all you got to do. But we've been so conditioned by tradition to make people think they got to go to the church and run to the altar before they can get saved. You can do it right here.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Right where you are, even if you're listening to this in the archive, you can get saved right now. You can repent right now. If you backslid, you can repent right now and come back to Jesus. Because you don't want to be like Ernest Pugh's friend who was in the car and got killed. He didn't know he was going to die, but he did not give his life to the Lord. He didn't know he was going to die, but his life was required of him that night, and he died without giving his life to the Lord. You don't have to do that.
Yes.
Give your life to the Lord. We have 60 seconds left. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. And verse 18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not.
Mm-hmm.
But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Please read the book of 1 John chapter 5. Read the book of 1 John chapter 5. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor Felicia, you know I love you. Mary, call us back sometime. Mm-hmm. We're on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, if the Lord allows you to. Amen.
Okay, amen.
All right, God bless you. Y'all have a good night. I'm going to play this favorite song of mine.
How can you forgive me when I've often gone?